Welcome back to Farm Talk. I'm News and Farm Director Eric Johnson. It's time to talk about the great outdoors and talk to a little bit about the bears and the what? Bears?
Yeah.
Why are there so many bears?
we're not talking about Jim McMahon or Walter Payton or anything like that.
Oh,
man,
my goodness.
You know, I remember you bringing this up, you know, recently. Is it your family that is it like to have a webcam or home video surveillance? Or are they just taking pictures of bears?
Actually, the neighbor took the picture of the bears, and what they have is, what is it? There's seven altogether. They have two moms, and each mom has two cubs, and then there's a luxurious-looking male that is just watching over everybody, I guess. And they've just been having fun in the neighborhood, I guess. No major problems as of yet. They were spotted about a month ago in the backyard.
Well, and I don't want to, you know, like give out too much information, but in what vicinity, you know, what town or lake in that proximity?
North of Detroit Lakes.
North of Detroit, which is bear country. I mean, it's not out of the ordinary to have bears around there at all. In fact, you know, moving in towards Holly and Moorhead, and that's a great example. When you start talking about, you know, one mom, two cubs, another mom, a couple cubs, I mean, that's why it's no shock or surprise that we're seeing and hearing more bears in eastern North Dakota, southeastern North Dakota. There was one in south central North Dakota that was making the social media rounds throughout much of the week. And I'm hoping somewhere along the line, North Dakota gets to a point where it's, you know, okay, there was a bear. It's always cool. It's like, oh, there was a moose. We really try to suggest people refrain from posting pictures of bears or, you know, unique wildlife on social media, because even if you say, please don't go try to find the bear, what do people do? They go try to find the bear, and they try to get pictures of the bear, and it just draws unnecessary attention. I saw one social media post, and the bear was running along the road and crossing that, I think it was a deer crossing sign, and you could see a vehicle in the background that was speeding up trying to get a picture of it. And the last thing that any animal needs, whether it's summer and especially in the wintertime, is unnecessary attention. All they want to do is kind of do what bears do. They're searching for food. We've seen reports over the last 10 years in eastern North Dakota consistently increase. And in talking with some of the experts, from fur bear biologists and big game biologists, they have maybe anecdotal information that the bear population in Minnesota has been growing. And one of the fundamentals, it's no different than putting cattle out on the pasture. You know how much grass you have, how many cows, and how long that you can keep them out there and keep them well fed. It's the same concept with wildlife, a carrying capacity. And when the food source, from what we're hearing in Minnesota, was a little bit depleted, an open winter, then there was a little stretch of cold and snow that maybe stunted the berries, causing the bears, the population grows, the food source gets stunted. The bears are looking for something to eat. So as the population grows, they continue to maybe become more common, more frequent in North Dakota. They don't care that there's a Red River. They don't care that, oh, there's a North Dakota line and a South Dakota line, that they shouldn't be there. We've seen in more significant, you know, situations with mountain lions and, you know, other big game, where they do become more frequent visitors to places where they hadn't been.
Yeah.
In more recent time. And that's kind of a, you know, kind of a scenario of what we see happening in eastern North Dakota, with the bear population growing in central and northwestern Minnesota. And then those bears just kind of spill out across the prairie.
You know, the interesting thing about them, and I maybe brought this up to you last time, but they love cars. I don't know what it is, parked cars. They love to go and search cars, because my parents live north of Detroit Lakes, and it's happened a couple of different times, but when I saw them mid-May, they were showing me the bear paw prints that they had all the way around their car. The bear was trying to figure out a way to get in their car, because there's probably normally food in there, and it probably smelled food in there. And I'm like, you can't keep food in there anymore. So groceries.
Right.
You know, we made a run to Fargo, yeah, and we still got stuff in the car. And so there were bear prints on the trunk lid, and there were bear prints around the door. It was searching for a way to get in.
It's interesting, because you had – you'd kind of brought that up a few weeks ago when we were talking about bears, and I asked one of the biologists. I was like, "Hey, so that's the same thing, you know, whether you're an ag or a news reporter or a biologist, you're like asking questions, and sometimes somebody else asks a question. Go, hey, why is that? And then you go to the experts. And mm-hmm. what I was told is it a combination? They do have a fantastic sense of smell, but he also said. There's a couple other things that factor into it. They're curious by nature. Bears are curious by nature. And, you know, going back to Yogi and Boo Boo Bear, they are curious by nature, that sense of smell. And then, you know, the other reference point, you know, on that is they don't really have, in terms of what we'd look at historically, a lot for natural predators. So they don't really necessarily have a reason to be afraid. In, you know, in the areas of Minnesota, there is going to be that competition with wolves. And again, wolves, like a lot of other predators, unless they're really, really hungry or really, really territorial at the time, they can find something easier to tangle with. They're not going to go tangle with a bear. They've got, you know, rabbits and small fawns and deer and things like that. So it was a great question that you had posed. And most of the time I fail on my homework. And this time I actually had jotted it down and I asked. And so if you are in a conversation with people and they're talking about why are we seeing more bears and why are they attracted to vehicles, they're curious by nature and they do associate, you know, smell. And it might be, like you said, you know, if you left over a bucket of fried chicken in there or anything like that, they've got the smell, they got the curiosity, and they really don't have a lot to be afraid of at this point in time.
Yeah, and these are not the Berenstain Bears either. So don't just go up and go, hey, look, it's the Berenstain Bears. Let's go hang out with them because you never know. I mean, we don't hear of bear attacks around here very much or at all, but it can happen.
Part of that could be something more of by chance where so far, you know, knock on wood, we haven't had the negative human bear interactions. But again, it doesn't matter if it's a Canada goose or a bear or a turkey or a deer, they're going to be protective of their young. And you've heard that in very serious examples of grizzly bears in the Rocky Mountains. And Yellowstone, I believe there was another grizzly bear attack this week, or it came to light this week in the media. And we don't want that to happen. Right. So it's kind of a similar message to any kind of wildlife, especially with young, especially this time of year. And they don't see you as a friend. You know, even somebody say, oh, I was going to go try to help that fawn or go help that stuck gosling or maybe that bear cub looked like it was lost. And they do not see you as help. They see you as a threat. Even if there isn't a cub present or young nearby, if that animal is backed into a corner, again, mm-hmm. if your garbage has been uncovered and they're come up to your garbage can and you've got a garage and garbage cans and a house and maybe a fence along there, and you're the only way out, they're going to come towards you because they see a garage, they see a fence, they see a house, and they can't get that direction. So they may be coming at you directly or indirectly. So we cannot stress enough. The best advice that we can give to people is to try to give them as much space as possible. Try not to make them feel like they're threatened in any way, shape, or form, Eric.
You know what's a negative, though, and I know you have seen this if you have Facebook at all. Have you seen, and I must have watched a video one time, and now I get these videos all the time of like a lynx or a bobcat or a mountain lion that's hurt and is sitting there on the ground, and the old guy drives up and in the or the cub is hurt or whatever, and they help and they bring it back to life and everything, and they bandage it up. Those videos are all over the place, so it makes it look like, oh, if you see one hurt or whatever, it's a cub, go ahead, go on up there and help and bandage them up because they love you. That's what it looks
like.
It drives me nuts.
And I'm not meaning this as an intentional gross. Well, I guess it would be an intentional gross example, but it's the equivalent of fake news. It's, you know, it's, people are posting things. And the scary thing about that is, like you said, most of the time people, oh, they see this video like, oh, we can help these animals. We can help this little baby coyote, this little baby fox. I had a situation a number of years back where a well-intentioned individual on the north side of West Fargo, they actually posted a picture of it, and they had this, what they thought was a stray dog in the back mm-hmm. of their car, and it was a young coyote pup that they had picked up. And they had a picture of it. They posted on social media, and I'm just, you know, just beating my head against the wall going, people, do you really? And you treat it like a stray dog. So, you know, if the thing is friendly, people don't have a fear of it. But when it's a wild animal, you don't know if that wild animal, if it has some kind of virus,
right.
if it has some kind of fleas or kind of lice or anything like that. And I just cannot, I cannot stress to people enough. And as you alluded to, even if you see videos online of, oh, they helped out this little baby bobcat, this little baby coyote. Well, that might have happened once, but I'm going to tell you that, you know, just because Doug Lear hit a home run in Little League doesn't mean I was hitting home runs all throughout my baseball career. Yeah. That's the one that they show you is the success. The other 99 times when the mother bobcat, the mother lynx, or the other mother tried to defend their young and attacked you, those are the things that people don't take videos of, and it's unfortunate, Eric.
That's why those videos out west, too, those big bison, you know, they're at, like, the parks, and people drive up, and they're like, oh, they're just looking, they're eating, they're grazing. Let's walk up 5 feet from them and take a photo. They're like 2,000 pounds.
Is yeah.
trample you,
oh.
you know, they get upset.
Oh, come on, people.
Yeah,
we're smarter than that. We're smarter than that.
Are we really? Most of us are, I guess. All right, we need to take a break. You're listening to The Great Outdoors. Doug Lear, North Dakota Game and Fish Outreach Biologist. I got the full title in there. We're going to take a break. It is a Friday. It's a nice day, although it's going to be a little rainy this weekend. Still have plenty of time to get out. It's not going to be a washout this weekend. We're going to come back. I want to talk a little bit about the Minnesota, state of Minnesota. We've been talking about Minnesota a bit lately. They're going to be changing some of their rules for boat operators depending on age. I saw that story the other day. And electronic posting. That and more coming up in just a moment.